Okay, turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 2. This is class number 3 on priesthood and what is a New Testament priest. And I want to talk a little bit tonight about a phrase that maybe you're familiar with. But I want to look at it in the light of what we've already been sharing and what we will be sharing. The phrase that's used, and it's pretty common, it's called the priesthood of the believers. Anybody heard that before? The priesthood of the believers. It's a pretty common phrase. And I want to look at Ephesians here. Let's see. Let's look at verse 18. Ephesians 2, verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now the through him is Jesus. So if anybody asks you if there are any scriptures that prove the Trinity, this one's one right here, because it says through him, talking about Jesus, it says we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So all three of them are here. And if you want to get to know the proper relationship with each person of the Trinity a little better, then the words that describe that are through, by, and unto. Because that's the words that are used right here. Through Jesus, by the Spirit, unto the Father. All right, what I want to use this scripture for and to discuss right now is this concept of the priesthood of the believers. I believe that the foundation of that truthful, the truth pertaining to that concept, the truth is the word access. Access. And that is that in the Old Testament, unless you were a priest, you didn't really have access to God. For example, Moses went up and he did all the talking with God. They never talked with God. Moses came down and told them what the deal was. You know, he'd go up, spend time with God, come down, and they'd say, "What'd he say? What'd he say?" You know. But that extended to the high priest being the only one who went in, saw the Lord. The priests themselves, the only one who really were regular ministers in the tabernacle and had access to the holy place. And so there was this well-known gap between priest and believer. And so people sort of carried that over into the New Testament, particularly the Roman Catholic Church. They carried that over into the New Testament, and so all of the ministers basically were not called pastors or preachers or even ministers. They were called priests. And they were the priests, and nobody else was a priest. Interestingly enough, this is in the New Testament. This is since Jesus rose from the dead. There was a carrying over of the Old Covenant in the sense of there are special people chosen who have access, and there are other people who, well, I'm sorry, you're just not as special. Of course you're special. Of course, but you're not as special. So they carry that over into the New Testament, ignoring, by the way, scriptures that say that we're all, if we're in the kingdom, we're a kingdom of priests. And so much so, building a system in the New Testament period, building a system whereby you would go meet with a priest, and he'd sit in a little booth, and you'd sit, I guess, I don't know, I wasn't Roman Catholic. In another adjacent booth, I don't know how it works, and you'd tell him all this stuff, and And, you know, he would hear from God how to get out of this. You know, basically, since I'm a priest, God told me 3 Hail Marys, 2 Thank You Jesuses. Yeah, say the Our Father 15 times. Pray the rosary. And, you know, give me a gift certificate to Chili's. And you're clear. Well, I'm sure they didn't say that Chili's thing. That was probably, well, you know what? They were indulgences and everything else, so there were worse things than that, way worse than that. This is all in the New Testament time. This is still people being, and the terms that are used are the priests or the ministers and the laity. The word laity meaning just regular old believers, people who don't have access, and you need a priest. And the advantage of setting the priesthood up a certain way is that it keeps everybody having to have. Now, in the body of Christ, we need one another, right? That's not the same thing. We don't need one another to get to God. We have direct access. But we need one another because we were made to be one. Is there an order and is there all that kind of stuff? I believe there is. I believe that there are, I mean, the scriptures declare there are, and he gave some pastors, some evangelists, teachers, you know, this sort of thing and that. But the goal is coming unto the stature of Christ, that the, all of us come to his stature, not that we all become pastors or preachers or priests. I mean, there's a difference between the two. And so this thing of access began to be carried over. And so finally there came a time when there was sort of a rebellion against the priesthood and all of that, and mainly because people were started doing something drastic. They started reading the Bible, which is a great idea, by the way, because that's the only way you're going to know if somebody's telling you the truth or not, is if it lines up with the Word of God. And if it doesn't, don't listen to it. And that includes my teaching or anybody around you, particularly this person over here. I mean, search the scriptures, folks, because there is a deceiver in our midst. But seriously, that's true. But anyway, but there, that whole thing of, you know, they started awakening to this thing of we have access. And I just want to say that I believe what people who saw the truth of the priesthood of the believers did is that they took it to a place it was never meant to go. They took it to a place it was never meant to go. Where it was meant to go is this whole idea of access, but not, folks, we don't just have access. I want you to think about this. You don't just have access. You come into the Father by Jesus Christ. And that doesn't just mean, you know, because you do it in the name of Jesus. Folks, you do it in the name because you're married to him. You're one with him. You've taken his identity. You realize that he is your all. He is the reason why you can even get to God and why God would accept you in the first place. Because you're accepted in the Beloved, not just by him. And by being in union with him, you have access. But he didn't just like rise from the dead and pass out little access cards, you know. You can go, you know, behind the stage and meet the guy. You know, we give you a backstage pass. You know, like Jesus is passing out backstage pass. No. Jesus is the backstage and the front and the middle and all around. And this thing of access to the Father is clearly right here. It is unto the Father, but it's through him. So I'm saying all that just to clarify that God didn't rise from the dead and say, those dead burn, priests kept you people down. They kept you down, but now I have risen from the dead, and now you can go to God. Go, baby, go! Well, it's clear he didn't say it like that anyway. But that's not what he did. He became the means by which we come to God as sacrifice. And he became the instrumentality as high priest. That's different. You know, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. All right. So, now, the priesthood of the believer, what is that? As defined by most people, and I wrote a thing, I'll probably read it to you here in a minute, on this subject, but I thought, you know, if I just read it straight out, you probably are not going to fully get what I'm trying to say. So I thought it best to comment a little bit on this thing. The priesthood of the believer, as understood by most Christians, if you look at it, if you lay it out and examine it, it has almost nothing to do with being a priest, a New Testament priest. It has almost nothing to do with being a New Testament priest. It might have something to do with all Christians can go to God. But that's not the end of being a New Testament priest. And again, you need the instrumentality of the right sacrifice, the acceptable sacrifice. In other words, we have access to God, but he didn't make us acceptable. He gave us the acceptable one by whom and in whom and in oneness with we can come. So the priesthood of the believers has developed into this thing that basically says we're all priests. So when we meet, nobody's going to be the designated preacher. What we're going to do is we're all going to gather together and we're going to sit down and we're just going to sort of like wait until one of you gets something. And then you are the preacher for the day. That may sound funny to some of you. It's not as strange as you might think. And all in the name of, we believe in the priesthood of all believers, so that there is nobody in charge, there is no thing. We just all sit there and we say, okay, we're all priests, so, you know. Now that, if you'll just compare that with the book of Acts, you'll find that not one time can I find them all sitting down and sort of going, well, since we're all priests, let's just find out who the thing is going to hit. You know, spin the wheel of preaching. If it lands on your number, you are the preacher. You don't find that at all. In fact, you don't find Paul being shy ever when it comes to preaching Christ and him crucified. Am I right or wrong, folks? I mean, look at Ephesus where he taught, he says, for 3 years in a school that was there, and he just kept laying the word out. He didn't, you know, I mean, when he preached, and of course, I've been in services, folks, where then somebody would preach and then they'd sit down and somebody else would get up and preach, and this is the honest goodness truth, and they'd refute the last guy and the next guy would get up and refute him and the guy before. And gone through 7-8 preachers that night. And I'm just going, whoopee! And they wondered why I didn't jump in, because I was a preacher on the stage with, you know, 7, 8, 9 preachers. What am I going to say, you know, that you haven't all already covered? I mean, we have been around the world and back, you know. And you know what? I don't have. If it's understood that, you know, tonight's service is going to go long and we're going to have five preachers, I don't mind that, you know. And I don't even mind somebody getting up and sharing and somebody else hearing from the Lord and getting that. We've had some of that before. But simply, what that is, now listen, I'm going to make a jump here so you see if you can follow me. What we're talking about in the manner that I just described is nothing more than a cultural picture of Christianity anyway, and that is somebody is authorized to preach a sermon and somebody is, and there's some sort of a religious system per se, instead of sharing the Lord. Compared to the being a priest for God, where every day you offer the Lamb of God. Every day you die to yourself and you offer the Father His Son, the acceptable sacrifice. And then every day, not just when you preach. In fact, the priesthood of the believer really, I believe, doesn't have anything to do with preaching. Never did. I mean, consider it. Are you kind of following me now? I made a big leap there. I'm talking about a cultural thing today compared to the actual real meaning of what a priest was from the Old Covenant, and the fulfillment of that in the New is that we're not out here killing goats and bulls and, you know, offering the blood and pouring it out and going, you know, God accepts us. Instead of doing that, we've made it where we stand up and preach. That's not even a good common sense sort of leap. That's like going to leap over here and then you kind of go, whoa. You know, whoa, where'd you go? You know, I mean, that's just way off from the real concept that God had in mind concerning the priesthood and concerning what we offer every day, whether you ever preach or attend a service or not. What you're offering to God is all important for access, acceptance. That's Christ, folks. That's the Father getting the sacrifice that pleased Him in the Old Covenant in type, only in type, in shadow, in a picture form. In the New Covenant, it's the real thing. You give Him Jesus. Now, let me say this. You know, the sin offering, you know, the book of Hebrews says, no more offering for sin or this and that. And do you agree with that? No more. There's no more offering for sin and those things needed. It's been fulfilled. Do you agree? However, we offer the Father the Son not because of sin, but because, number one, it's a sweet savor offering. It's not buying us anything. We're not getting atonement from it. Our atonement is totally from Christ. But the Father joined us to Jesus so that we can offer up Jesus all day long, every day. Am I right or wrong? Is that not the true area even of priesthood as compared to saying, well, the priesthood of the believer involves anybody can stand up and preach or run the meeting? It's not even in the ballpark. Some people have, in their attempt to, and I realize there's abuses. We probably got abuses here. You know what I mean? But there's some real abuses out in some of these places, folks, where one man controls everything. I mean, it's a one-man show, and you could never preach. And, you know, no, I mean, like, we got different people that rotate, and I don't even make the decision when I preach on Sunday. I mean, that's someone else. But you'd never see in some of these churches just all sorts of different people being able to share. But that's not the priesthood of the believer. That is a clear recognition that God is at work, that person is in tune with the Lord, is flowing with the Lord, and will stand up and bring the true message of God to the people of God. Now, I admit that I've let some young people step behind this pulpit at times that were not, you know, they were brand new. I mean, you got to start, you know, you got to share it for the first time somewhere, you know. And, you know, they say, well, you know, God's good and I'm a mess and we need the cross. And, you know, it's just like saying stuff. But some of those same people I'm talking about now are really sharing the Lord. Really, really sharing the Lord. It's like when Scott started leading worship. Can I tell this story? When Scott first started leading worship in our church, I used to lead the worship, and I've, you know, I do pretty good at worship, and people like my worship, and, you know, we get rowdy and have a lot of fun when I lead worship and stuff, so people like that. I let Scott start lead, or I let Scott lead worship once, and it wasn't very good. I mean, his timing was off and stuff, and he'd sometimes, you know, mess up in the middle of the song, and all sorts of stuff would go on. And so, you know, people put up with it for the first time I let him do it. And then I decided he was going to be our worship leader, because I heard from the Lord that Scott was going to be our worship leader eventually. And people didn't like it. And they said, I had people leave the church because I came here to enjoy the Lord. And, you know, and some people say we'd be going like this, you know, and the Lord, da 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 da, like a hiccup. And what? You know, and kind of go back and then do it again. And, would you quit slapping me out of my worship, you know? But the Lord told me that Scott was going to be our main worship leader, and that God was really going to use him eventually, and that I was to trust him and not go by what I saw, felt, heard, or how many people left the church. That this wasn't sticking with Scott per se. This was sticking with what the Lord said, and that included sticking with Scott. You understand what I mean? I mean, my heart was with the Lord, but if the Lord says that about Scott, man, I can't walk by sight. I certainly can't walk by hearing. No, not to this day. And then sure enough, man, the Lord started kicking in, and the songs started getting songs, and just the Lord would move, and just a blessing to the body, and just poured Christ out, and it was clearly him not depending on himself and whatever. Well, you know, what if I had just some other person walk up that's got, you know, like three strings on their guitar, and they don't know how to tune it and everything? And they say, I heard your story about Scott. Can I start leading worship? And I would say, no. Well, why not? Why not? Haven't you heard of the priesthood of the believers? Yeah, I have, and you ain't in. No. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. Wipe that from the slate. I'm just... There's a difference between the priesthood of the believers and the knucklehead believers. Just kidding. But I mean, you know, so then the concept, I mean, you know, you say, when you start trying to deal with an evil over here, you may be opening up the door to something that's not the Lord too. You understand what I'm saying? By saying, well, you know, this guy is the only man, and so other people need to be able to preach and stuff, and that really be right and everything. And then all of a sudden somebody else preaches, and it's really the Lord, somebody else, because in the mouth of two or three witnesses the word is established, so somebody else does. But down the road, then it's just anybody that wants to preach. You know? I remember when I was in Bible school, there was a Bible school teacher that I was in a little room studying, and everybody else was either gone to bed or out partying or something, and I just wanted Jesus. And I was in this little classroom studying, and this guy came in, and he wasn't a teacher in the Bible school, he taught in the Christian school there. And he started sharing with me, and of course I'm trying to get in the Word, but I, you know, he wanted to talk. And so he starts sharing with me, and this guy's way older than me and everything. He said, yeah, I used to search the Scriptures like that. But the Lord's really been dealing with me in signs lately. I thought, well, you know, as long as they're following us, these signs should follow, you know what I mean? We shouldn't be following them. These signs follow them that believe, not you follow after signs. Signs follow after you. And so, you know, I thought, okay, you know, so I listened to him, and he went on, and he said, yeah, you know, I saw this sign the other day when I was driving down the road, said crossover. That means where you cross over from one lane going this way to going back this way. And he said, the Lord really dealt with me with that sign. I thought, is this the signs you're talking about? You know, street signs? And you gave up the word of God for street signs? Well, that was the case. That was the case. The guy gave up, sir. I mean, basically what he said was he had matured past the word of God. That'll scare you right there. But, I mean, you know, but when you start going to metal signs made by the state, come on. Yeah. And so he goes, the sign said cross over. And I knew that we needed to cross over from where we are in Adam to where we are. Well, that's true. But my God, you know, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, you would just be devoid, you know. I mean, if he didn't, you know, he'll use signs if it takes that. You know, he'll teach you through shoestrings if he has to. He'll do whatever he has to do. But he gave us the word, and we need to know the Lord. And if he came to this church today and asked to preach, I would say no. Okay? And you know what? He might have someone with him, or he might say, well, you're another one of them churches don't believe in the priesthood of the believer. We're all priests. We are priests. Are you giving the Father the Son? Are you giving the acceptable sacrifice? Are you giving the Father the Lamb and how you relate to others and how you react to circumstances? Or are you just wanting to preach signs? Traffic signs. That's why it's followed by wonders. Makes you wonder about it. So I just started seeing how, you know, in an attempt to straighten things out, we actually open doors to other stuff. While I believe that if somebody hears from the Lord and, you know, and in the mouth of two or three witnesses, he's going to bring the Lord, then, you know, I say, let's go for it. But I tell you what, I don't believe that just anybody at any time is going to hear from God and feed the people. But I believe anybody at any time can lay down their life. Imagine being a true priest. Now, this stuff like that happened to me, but imagine, you know, you feel like you're supposed to preach, you know. You're a young man, you're full of zeal, you're full of, you know, you got preacher's itch. I got to preach, man. I got to preach. I used to have preacher's itch. Thank God I got over it. But, I mean, you know, I got to preach. I got to preach. They won't let me preach. They won't let me preach, you know. Had I learned priesthood before preaching, got it? You got it? Had I learned priesthood before preaching, then I would have said, you know what? I lay down my life. Let somebody else preach. You know, if God wants me to preach, he'll open the door. In the meantime, I need to quit shoving me forward and give the Father the Lamb. You know, but nobody ever talks about the priest, the true priesthood of the believers, being a priest, offering the right sacrifice. We only talk about everybody's got rights. Laity, Laodicea. It is from the same Greek word. Laity and Laodicea is one of the churches, the seven churches Jesus spoke to in the book of Revelation. And that word means people's rights. Laodicea, people's rights, not the Lord's right, people's right. And it's the worst church. It's the one that the Lord is the most upset with, because they're all wanting their own rights. They're all wanting their own way. Nobody's being a priest, although they're all demanding the rights of a priest to preach or to do whatever. You see what I'm saying? I mean, there's no, you know, they're not honoring the priesthood. They're trying to use the title of priest to get to do what they want to do. I believe this. You know, I've quoted that recently, but The scripture says that promotion cometh neither from the east and the west. Promotion cometh from the Lord. If you really believe that, then you don't ever have to push yourself forward. Do you agree with me? You shouldn't. I mean, if it really comes from the Lord, then it comes from the Lord. The Lord says, okay, you know. And of course, you know, like with Moses, you know, promotion comes, you know, okay, I want you to lead my people out. And he goes, I'm not worthy. I can't do it. I can't talk. I'm not, you know, and this is a typical us, though. You know, when we're ready based on our confidence and how good we're feeling at the moment. But you know what? When we're not confident and we don't have it, we question and we say, well, what are you picking me now for? I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. I shouldn't be doing this. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It is the case. It is the case. I mean, if God wanted to really use Moses, use him when he's young. Use him when he's full of zeal. Use him when he's ready. You know? But it was all that young and full of zeal and ready and all that stuff that he had to take him 40 years out in the wilderness and drain it out of it. You know? And then when it's all gone and the man has absolutely no self-confidence, then God shows up. You know? No, I can't do it. Why would you even think of me? I'm frail. I'm messed up. I'm yucky. I am totally inadequate for the job. You're my man. That's the Lord. Because he's not, he, you know, I mean, I wondered this. You know, he didn't start really, really using me until after years of, you know, really trying hard. I mean, trying hard. I mean, busting a gut. I mean, I'm going to, you know, bless God, if I hair-lip the devil, I'm going to bring the revelation of Christ to the world. I don't know anybody tried any harder than me. I wore myself out. And when I finally said, you know, this is stupid. You know, it's a mixed offering. I'm trying to give God the lamb with maggots. And I'm the maggot. You know, I'm trying to offer him a mixed sacrifice here. And if you remember in the old covenant, he'd never take, you can't mix seed and you can't do all this stuff, you know. You know, and it's when you just, you have no confidence. And Paul said that of himself. I have, you know, we are they not of the concision, meaning those who are beating down their flesh going, no, no, no. That's the concision. He said that's not what we are. But we are they who are of the circumcision who have no confidence in the flesh. Well, that seems so contrary. And yet, every person that God ever used in a great way was not a great person. They were not a great person, but they had a great God. And they recognized their limitations, and they decided not to look at themselves. Because the contrast of you and Jesus can be so incredibly powerful that you never want to do anything for God. Do you understand what I mean? Honestly, the contrast, you end up seeing yourself as the darkness. And you see him as the light and you go, that's it. Man, I don't know why I ever thought I could do something for God. But that's not the end of the road, folks. You need to see that contrast so that when you get into the middle of what God's doing, when he's flowing, you don't have your hand all in it. You don't have your hand all in it. So what happens then is there comes a place where it's no longer you of the concision keeping down your flesh and shaping up your flesh and doing all this stuff. You know, you realize you can't do that and you realize you're darkness and he's light and there's no hope for me. And then he says, just come and trust me. Come, be one with me. Come, follow me. Come in my strength, in my sight, in my resources. And if you are among the few that say, yes, Lord, you are in for a treat. because you will be a true vine that is drawn, or branch that is drawing from the fullness of the vine himself. And what comes forth, you will. And you know what? It's an endless supply. With Christ, it's an endless supply. It's an endless supply. Sufficient? Oh, forget it. He's more than sufficient. Paul just said, knowing this, that our sufficiency is not of ourselves. He had the... Do you think Paul had the right idea? Here's what we do. We look at Paul and we say, Paul was a great man of God. No, he wasn't. Paul was a flaky person who found the... And he said it. He said, you know, I did this. Where was I? I was preaching somewhere. And I used this example. Oh, yeah, we were in Mexico and you were my Jesus when I had you stand up there. I mean, he was standing up there as Paul. And I said, well, let's interview Paul right now. You know, let's find out from his mind if he's such a great man. And I said, how is it that you've been able to go around the world and to raise up so many churches? I stuck the mic up to Jonathan's mouth, and he represented Paul, and he said, I am crucified with Christ. Well, how is it that you've been able to win so many souls to Jesus? I'm crucified with Christ. Well, how is it that you know, so-and-so, I'm crucified. And finally, I said, so what is this abundance then if you're just dead? And he said, I no longer live, Christ lives in me. Paul wasn't a great man. He'll tell you, I'm not a great man. That's why I needed to die. What a blessing the cross is, folks. What a blessing the truth is. Instead of all of this feeding our flesh and puffing us up and making us think we're something, when we are the darkness and when we are garbage and when we are maggots in ourselves and trying to convince what God took to the cross to destroy, trying to convince that it's of God and really special. You know, I mean, it's like this night of the living dead person walking up with maggots out their mouth and nose and everything. Here I am, Lord. I'm your servant. And the Lord says, go back to the grave, get in it, and pull the dirt down around you. And when my son comes forth, you'll see resurrection. In the meantime, quit trying to be in resurrection when you ain't the part I raised. You know? Remember that picture next time you want to offer your services. I'll tell you what. It's the truth, though. It's closer to the truth than a lot of this junk you hear. And I'm not trying to put that down. I'm just saying, folks, we need to recognize what this whole thing is about. That's why the priesthood of the believers would even get confused. There's only one reason why it would get confused. Something that didn't go down into death wants to be somebody. Really, that's the basis of it. Not originally, not when somebody was trying to straighten out, you know, some one man who's trying to control things. But it always ends up that way because you're always going to find somebody that wants to do something for God that's not crucified. Being crucified, it's like, you know, the example I use is like in Texas we used to hang, you know, horse thieves and stuff like that, you know, or whatever. Like I reach up there every once in a while and I just feel the rope burns, you know. I just feel them and I realize I ain't putting my hand to this, you know what I mean? I'm a horse thief, and I deserve to be hung, and I don't want to be hung again. Let Jesus come forth or forget it. I ain't coming out of this grave till Jesus' life lifts me up and brings me forth, and in the meantime, I'm staying down here. Oh, but Randy, you got so much potential. For what? Stinking? Oh, no, you're a wonderful person. Crawl on the inside of my guts in here and look what this is like in here. This is putrefying yuck. I am a pile of shimmering flesh, seething, boiling, bubbling flesh. I need Jesus. You're my enemy by trying to get me to come forth. Can anybody agree with that? Trying to feed my flesh, it's like having a big, you're laying in the grave there, you're comfortable, you're dead, you're starting to reckon yourself dead, and somebody comes along with a big old hunk of flesh and says, wouldn't you like a little bit of this? Come on. Trying to draw you up and out, don't you believe in the resurrection? You can do great things for God. Come on, don't be a loser. Be a winner. Don't be a Mexican. Be a Mexican. That's the thought. It's something like that. Don't be an American. Be an American. I can. Yeah, thank you. You've got me. Well, you know what? I've had my flesh jump up and get ready to run for God so many times, only to get, even your young men shall grow weary. But I tell you what, a true priest, you never grow weary in giving the Father the sacrifice of his Son. You live your life as a living sacrifice, always offering up the Lord, always pleased. And you get in circumstances, around here, and you're looking. I'm going to say it. You're looking for times when somebody does something unfair to you so that you can offer the Father the Lamb and you can offer it to them. But instead, we're looking for all the advantages and opportunities, and we loathe the unfair situation. Oh my God, you can see who's up walking around, Night of the Living Dead dude. He's walking around serving God, and then somebody does something unfair and goes, What? A little bit of young Frankenstein. Where did I get this stuff? My God. Jesus is in this sermon somewhere, this sharing. He is, okay? That's it. If we could see ourselves the way we really are, you'd see zombies walking the halls here. We'd see Night of the Living Dead people that are going, and then, they're in service and go, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. And somebody beside them going, and then they go like this, and they bump into the other guy, And we're all, since they didn't bump into us, we're all going, what a great worship service. And half the crowd's going, argh! Lord, just put my eyes out, my spiritual eyes. But it's the truth. And if we just saw everybody for what we were, my God, we'd just go, we need to pray. We need to pray for one another. We need to pray for this place. We say, oh, it's such a spiritual. There's nothing spiritual about the walls or anything here. If something's going to be spiritual, it's going to be you. And if something's not, that'd be you too. The choice is yours, but what's the choice? The choice is, I'm a zombie that doesn't like to be bumped into, or the choice is, I am a son of God, I'm a priest that gives the Father the acceptable sacrifice that he wants in these circumstances. And you just begin to look for those things, and you begin to order your life, and you begin to say, you know, my greatest thing as a priest is not if I ever get to preach. My greatest thing as a priest is that it not that I believe this in general, but when I get in those circumstances. Come on, anybody say amen? When I get in the circumstances is when we should be a priest, you know? We say, well, we sit in service and we say, well, we're all priests. I could preach if I want to. Well, that really glorifies God, you know? Maybe you do it once every whatever. That doesn't glorify God. The Son glorifies God. You better believe it. I'm telling you the truth. You know, I mean, I remember when I was in Bible school, there was this guy, and this kid, man, he looked like the next Billy Graham. He was what? He was probably 21. Oh, man, he was finely groomed. He wore nice suits and everything. And when he preached, I mean, he sounded like Billy Graham. But it was all refined and everything he learned. And I was sitting in the same Bible school, same classes and everything, and my hair's down my back, you know. I've got long hair, and I'm wearing moccasin boots and, you know, see-through shirts and puffy sleeves and, you know. And I'm just, you know, wow, dig this, man. I mean, I'm just, all I know is I want to see Jesus. You know, when they said there is such a thing as a revelation of Christ, I didn't say, I want that. I said, I want Christ revealed in me. That's what I wanted. I didn't want that. See, and that's a lot of people. They hear about the revelation of Christ. They go, oh, I want that. What do I got to do to get there? You know, like, what's his name in the book of Acts trying to pay off to get the Holy Spirit? Well, how much, you know? How much, dude? You know, I want that. You know, not talking about money payoff. We're talking about how much time we're going to put in or this or that to get the thing, when we should be saying, I want that. I want that Jesus revealed in me, and I want it in this way. I want it when things don't go my way. I want Christ to come forth, because that's where you'll really see that Christ is your life instead of just believing a doctrine that Christ is your life. Can I get amen? That's where it counts. When I say counts, to the Father. He didn't do all this so we just all basically have the same motivations but believe the right stuff. He did this so that His actual Son could live in us and show forth the glory of His resurrection by manifesting Himself in His body. Did you hear what I said? That's the glory of the resurrection. That He could manifest Himself in our mortal flesh. That you could be hated and love. That you could be hated and still love. That you could be wrongly accused and take it, because you know that if the right person was accused, they couldn't handle it. Their pride is so high it would destroy them. I mean, they might even go out and commit suicide. No, sir, I will not do that to that person. I'll take the blame. I mean, would that be Jesus? Well, it is Jesus. That He's the one who took our, not just our sins and our sicknesses upon Himself, but all of the accusations and all of that. The, what's it say? The something that should have fell on us fell. The reproaches that should have fell on us fell on Him. And He didn't go, this ain't right! You people deserve to be up here. I deserve to be down there going, you people are stupid, die. You know, I mean, that's, you know, that'd be us. No, He says, I wouldn't do that. Not only that, but I'm going to get up on this cross and I'll take it. Because actually, you know, we say, well, you know, well, if they've got that much pride, then they ought to be brought down. So instead of it falling all on me, you know, I want to bring it all out and expose them so they'll come to Jesus. How about you just give the Father Jesus right off the bat, and then we won't have to put them through all that? You say, well, you're letting people out of stuff. Here's what I believe with all my heart. I believe If nobody else, I believe that if I'll die, if I'll live Jesus, if I'll lay down my life, I'll release a spirit of something that will begin to affect other people, and then they'll want to do it. But if I don't do it, this place is doomed. Do you understand that? It's doomed. Now, I don't do it because of that. I don't do it because this place would be doomed, because God will use this place for as long as he wants to, and then he'll throw it away when it's, you know what I mean, when it's no good to him, and I don't blame him. I encourage him to do that. I mean, I do. You know? All I want to do is flow with my Father by the Son life that lives in me. And I want to be, that Son was a priest and a sacrifice. And I want the priest to want to offer the sacrifice, which is all Christ. I want to so line up with him that my life is overshadowed, that I am more aware of him than I am of me, and that I'm not caught up in this world, and I don't care if things go good or bad. And I'm telling you the truth. You get where you just don't care. If things go bad, God tends to use crisis more than he uses blessing. Did you know that? God deals with people better in crisis than blessing. So what do we all want? Well, I want blessing all my life and everything to be wonderful all the time and just never have a problem and whatever. No. I want to give the Father the Son. Let me try to close this section with this. Think of Jesus as the Lamb of God. The Bible says the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. So that's one little picture, and very few are we given, of what he was like before the world. But one thing he was a Lamb. When he came to the earth, slain, thank you. And when he came to the earth, behold the Lamb of God. Okay? And then in the book of Revelation, that pretty much is what they call him, is Lamb. Right? That's, you know, if you want to say it, the eternity, end of time as it is, he's the Lamb of God. There is the eternal Jesus. There is the eternal Jesus. You want to be with Jesus? You want to be one with Jesus? You know? Long before you start flowing with that spirit, as I said, the priest offering up the lamb, because that the priest offering up the lamb, them both being Jesus, that is the spirit of God, the Lamb of God, the eternal spirit, the nature of God, the self-sacrificing. All right, let me try this. Abel died not just because his brother killed him, but because he offered the right sacrifice, meaning he had the right spirit in him, so that when it came time for him to be killed, he laid down his life. He wasn't murdered, so that his blood yet speaketh. If you're just murdered, your blood doesn't speak. But it speaks of the Lamb. It yet speaks. It's still talking to us about laying down our lives for our brother. But we say this, well, but if I die, then all hope, all that I have to do and accomplish and everything, see, that spirit is what is eternal and will keep going long after anybody who seeks to save so that they can do something for God. Hello? It is the truth. Long after you're gone, done in that spirit. And, let's see, some of us in the car when we were in Pennsylvania were talking about this. The scripture says God is ready. He's ready. Okay, picture him like this. I'm ready. He's ready to punish all disobedience in others when your obedience is fulfilled. Meaning when you get with God, when your spirit's right, then he's ready to deal with other people. But we're always going, deal with them. I'll get right after you really jump them, you know. When you really work them out, I'll go, oh, I'm good now. Where do you think I learned this from? You know, it's in us. It's who we are apart from Christ. He dealt that scripture to me, folks. That's not a teaching that I got on the mount. That was a spanking I got once. I learned obedience, baby. Yes, sir, Father. How many of you really say that to him? Yes, sir, Father. Because you know that his word is right. And you're his son. You're his daughter. You're with him, and I want to be in the family. I want to be in the family spirit. I want to flow with what you got, Father. Well, that's it. That's it right there. So, when we come back, I'll read a little bit on this thing of the priesthood of the believers. I'm giving you all that to show you the incredible leap from what people are calling the priesthood of the believer, where everybody has a right to do certain things in a gathering, compared to living as a living sacrifice, always giving the Father what pleases Him, the Son. All right.